Continuing our series on Romans. You know, we've got to have fun in church, haven't we? Yeah. Thank you. Recognise that voice. We're continuing our series on Romans, and Terry, he did a wonderful job last week. Terry, bless you, mate. I loved how you spoke and what you spoke, and he launched us into Romans 4, and it was just done with such passion and empathy and love. So we're looking at Romans 4, 9 to 12. It's quite a short passage this morning. I've got the words on the screen if you haven't got your Bible with you. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of the righteousness that he had had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So, righteous, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. To be righteous means to be right in God's eyes. We were singing about it this morning. We don't deserve the royal robes that God has placed on us. But because of faith in Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. So to be righteous means to be innocent and blameless and united with Jesus. With God, sorry. It means to be standing in right relationship with him. So Paul is making it really clear in this passage here that what made Abraham righteous wasn't a physical sign, in this case circumcision, but it was his faith. It was an inward transformation of his heart. It wasn't an external sign, but it was an internal revolution. It's something that changed the way he thought. And we know this is the case because God credited Abraham as righteous 14 years before he was circumcised. So Paul is saying here very plainly, very clearly, it is not because of a physical sign that he is righteous. It is because of his faith. Now, if you're new to church, you might be sitting here feeling a little bit lightheaded with this, all this talk about circumcision and physical signs. Don't worry, we're not going to do anything that's going to cause anyone any pain here. But the context here is that Abraham is the patriarch. He is the father of the Jewish nation. And God chose to reveal himself to the world through the Jewish nation. God chose this group of people to make himself known to the world. And God said to Abraham, as a sign of your covenant with me, I want you to be circumcised. So the context is, every baby, every male boy on the eighth day is circumcised in the Jewish faith. So this is Paul is speaking to the Jewish church here and to the Gentiles, and he is saying really clearly, it's not because of that that you are righteous, which gives us hope. As a Gentile church, it gives us hope. Father is the Abraham of all who believe. We are made righteous because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Circumcision is a physical sign of a spiritual reality. So I figured this morning we could go down one of two routes. We could look more at circumcision or we could look at faith. And I thought we'd go at faith. So Father, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that I would be used by you, Father. That we would hear you speaking, Father God. That you would transform us, you would change us, you would touch our hearts, Lord. And we would come out of this place more in love with Jesus. Would you increase our faith, Lord, as I speak on this difficult subject? In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, we are to live by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, it is impossible to please God without faith. So faith is a big deal. In the New Testament, it is mentioned over 24 times. It's a really big deal. We live in a largely secular society, don't we? We're looking a few weeks ago at enlightenment and how the pervasive thinking of the world is basically encroaching upon us to the point where we are, and we always have been a minority, but we are being sidelined by media and by everything else, that we are just a small minority. This was perfectly demonstrated in the appointment of Dan Walker, who is the BBC Sports correspondent. He's going to be the new BBC breakfast show host, taken over from Bill Turnbull. So Bill Turnbull, a real legend of the BBC breakfast couch, is retiring, and Dan is coming in his place. Dan is a committed Christian and has always refused to work on Sundays. When his appointment was made public, there was a massive outcry. I don't know if you've seen any of this at all, but people were condemning Dan for his belief in the creation story, and they were even questioning the BBC and how they can legitimately use a Christian that believes in the Bible account to be reading the news in the morning. I mean, it's outrageous that they were questioning how he can be in this position of responsibility. I mean, he's just reading the news, you know? We're not interested in his opinion. We're interested in how well he can read, essentially. But there was a massive outcry. The new atheists say that faith is blind trust. People like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins say that faith is blind trust in the absence of evidence, even in the teeth of evidence. They believe that faith is an unreasonable leap into the darkness, that it's completely unreasonable. They say that their lives are built on reason and rationale. Rich Nathan, who's one of my heroes from A Vineyard in the States, says that unless you have something outside of your reason, something external to your reason, to calibrate your reason, you have no idea whether your reason is right or not, whether it's flawed or not. I'll give you an example. If someone comes in here with a plank of wood, I might say to them, how long is your plank of wood? They'd say it's 2.4 metres. I say, how do you know it's 2.4 metres? They say, because I've measured this plank of wood. But how do you know that your tape measure is accurate? How do you know that 2.4 metres on your tape measure is 2.4 metres according to everyone else's tape measure? Unless you have something outside of reason, how do you calibrate your reason? Does that make any sense? Our senses can deceive us. I might hear fireworks when you might hear gunshots. I might see the Surrey Panther running across Farnham Park. You might see just a regular black cat. I might taste a bouquet of berries in my red wine. You might taste vanilla. Our senses can deceive us. We're not so reasonable and rational as we might think. There was a study done a few years ago in Israel with some Jewish judges, and they basically were in charge of granting parole to prisoners. And this study gave these judges all these different cases. Some of them were very serious crimes, and some of them were less so. And they were randomly mixed up. And then all day, every day, for a number of days, they had to decide, according to the fact that had in front of them, according to the case study of each prisoner, whether that prisoner was allowed parole or not. Here's what they found. They had three food breaks during the day. The time of the decision made by the judge was recorded, as was the time that they broke for food. When the judges broke for food, they granted parole. Parole spiked to 65%, rising down to zero before the next food break. Here's what the authors of the study found. That these judges granted parole based on their sugar levels, based on how hungry they were. Important decisions based on seemingly inconsequential stuff like whether we're starving or not. That's how reasonable we are. This is a true study. It's shocking, isn't it? That we would think we're so kind of down the line and we're so reasonable. But depending on your blood sugar and your hunger, I completely can relate to that. Has anyone ever said to you before, I wish I had your faith? Has anyone said, oh, I just wish I had faith like you? Or maybe you've wished you had someone else's faith. Maybe we wish that our faith was like a mathematical equation. 2 + 2 = 4. If I pray like this and I do this, this is the outcome. Some of us are struggling with doubts. And I want to say this morning that doubt is okay. Doubt is absolutely fine. In fact, doubt is crucial for our faith. Someone once said, the doubt is the ants in the pants of our faith. They keep it awake and moving. Am I allowed to doubt? Am I allowed to air my doubts in this context of church? Am I allowed to have questions about God and about Christianity and how this all works together? Yes, you are. Absolutely, you have complete permission to have doubts. John the Baptist was an amazing man of God. He was standing in the desert and he was preaching a message of repentance. When Jesus came to him to be baptized, he saw him, he recognized him, he knew exactly who he was. Behold, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. He said, I'm not worthy to bow down and untie your sandals. And yet in Matthew 11, verse 2, John is imprisoned and he's there and he's questioning, he has doubts. He's wondering whether Jesus really is who he thought he was. So he sends people to go in and find out if Jesus actually is the Messiah. This is the same John the Baptist. Things hadn't gone well for him. He wound up in prison. He wasn't sure about whether Jesus really was who he was. Do you know, Jesus was absolutely fine with that. Instead of giving John a philosophical understanding of faith, he said to people, Matthew 11, go and tell John, the blind are receiving their sight, the lame are walking, the dead are being risen, people are being healed, demons are being cast out. Go and tell him what you see. Jesus can handle our doubts, friends. Doubt isn't in an opposition. In fact, doubt is really healthy. I remember years ago being at a Soul Survivor youth leaders meeting, and there was a guy there that was saying that as a youth leader, he had parents now and again come up to him and saying, you know, my little David is 14 years old and he's starting to really doubt. I've got concerns. Please, Lord, help us. Give us wisdom. And he said, that is an amazing place to be, that place of doubt, because it refines us. It gives us an opportunity to search and to question and to ask rather than just be complacent. It strengthens our faith. Doubt isn't in opposition to faith. Abraham and Sarah had doubt. When God said, you're going to have a child, they both laughed. In the presence of an angel, they both laughed. It's okay to have doubt. Rich Nathan again says that faith is like a picket fence. You can see it there, but there are lots of gaps in that fence, lots of bits of air. When something tragic happens in our lives, some of those planks might be smashed out of that fence, but that fence is still there. Or if we have an encounter with God where we see someone healed. I mean, Ruth Bear's story a couple of weeks ago about his shoulder being miraculously healed because of a simple prayer. Things like that put more planks in my picket fence. God can handle those gaps. He's absolutely fine with it. Faith is not an all or nothing proposition. Some people believe that you either have faith or you don't, in the same way that some people have rhythm or they don't. You know, my family, Liam is the only one that can play drums. We've all got terrible timing. Faith isn't like that. It's not a case of you having faith or not having faith. Jesus said a little bit of faith goes a long way. I love the dad in, where is it, in Mark 9. The dad whose son is full of demons. This son is frothing at the mouth and he's convulsing. And the dad comes up to Jesus and says, if you can heal him, would you? And Jesus says, if I can. Anything is possible for he who believes. Then the dad's response is beautiful. I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I mean, that's just so tender and true, isn't it? Help us, Lord, in our unbelief. Yet we do believe. Faith is a choice. It's a decision regarding how we're going to look at life. Abraham had three choices. When God said to him, you're going to have a son, and more than that, your descendants are going to outnumber the sand on the seashore or the stars in the sky, Abraham had three choices. The first choice was to completely unbelieve him. The second choice was to believe him, but to try and force the issue, try and do it himself, which is what he did, which is how Ishmael came about. The third choice, finally, is Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Abraham was in right standing with God because of his faith, because he believed. Can I have the next slide, please, Rich? Hebrews 11 is the chapter on faith in the Bible. I want to read you just the first little bit. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. That's so profound. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith grabs hold of something in the future and drags it into the present. Faith grabs hold of something from God's kingdom and brings it into the here and the now. You've heard us speak many times about the kingdom of God and how it came with Jesus as a baby. It entered this world. It entered the brokenness of this time. But the kingdom of God isn't yet fully here. You've heard it said as a now and a not yet. The kingdom has come, but it's not yet fully here. That means that we're living in a time where the Bible calls it the devil is the ruler of this present age. So make no mistake, the devil has power and he has influence. The truth is that Jesus is coming back and his kingdom is coming. And when his kingdom comes, everything will be subject to God's will. It's the rule and the reign of God. It's here, but it's not fully here, which explains partly why there's just stuff happening, why there's brokenness, why parents are burying their own children, why mums and dads are being driven apart, why sickness is rampaging, why wars are happening. There are wills contrary to God's will happening at the moment. But faith, my friends, grabs hold of something from the future kingdom of God and drags it into now. When we pray for someone for healing, we are grabbing something of God's kingdom and we're bringing it into the here and now. We are influencing the here and the now because of God's spirit, because of God's presence in us. God's kingdom knows nothing of sickness and pain and suffering and jealousy and pride and anger. God's kingdom knows nothing of that stuff. None of that will exist when Jesus returns. What we can do is bring some of that to heaven, to earth, sorry, right now. Bring some of heaven to earth. Because we are united with Christ. Because we are heirs of God. We are co-heirs of Christ Jesus. Because we are his bridegroom. Because he loves us. Because he's for us. Because we are made righteous by our faith in him. Faith grabs hold of something from God's kingdom and brings it into now. When we do justice, we're bringing something of God's kingdom here and now amongst the injustice and the suffering. Let me wrap up with this. Our righteousness is linked to our faith. We're made righteous by believing in Jesus Christ. It's okay to say, I believe, help me in my unbelief. It's okay to say that. Our doubts stir up our faith. They cause us to question and to search for God. It's okay to have doubts. Nathan told me this brilliant quote that he heard the other day. Hope says please, and faith says thank you. Love that. The end. Hope says please, and faith says thank you. Let me read you Hebrews 11 again. this just fills me with so much excitement. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We are people of faith because we live in the hope that God can and do something in the situations we find ourselves in. Paul uses Abraham as a reason, for a reason. Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham made mistakes. He slept with his servant so that he could have a child to try and force God's promise. I mean, this man wasn't a man that was completely full of faith all the time. But Jesus says just a small amount of faith can make a big difference. Why don't we stand?